Take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to mainly focus in chapter 1, but I want to start with chapter 2. I want to talk about like getting in shape, like us having mental fitness, about having a sound mind. This is more of a proactive approach. Instead of just saying, I'm dealing with my anxiety, I'm overwhelmed. Well, before you ran a marathon, you would prep for the marathon. You're going to prepare your heart, your mind to get in shape. A lot of us will talk about getting in shape. Okay, that's the thing that we do. We'll bring the groceries in, be out of breath, and it looks like we just ran a 5K, and all we did was carry groceries in the house. And say, I'm so out of shape, we need to do that. Well, what are you going to do about it? People say, I've got a treadmill. That's great. Do you get on the treadmill? Do you guys know that's how that thing works? It's like, well, that's where I throw all the clothes that I can't wear anymore. You know, I throw it on the treadmill or on the exercise bike or whatever. It doesn't do anything. I think there's a lot of things that God has given us. It's like, this is a resource. This is a tool. This is a weapon. But it doesn't help to know these things if you don't apply these things. So Paul is talking to Timothy and helping him out with this and explaining to him to be proactive. Because we're going to face difficult times. You are going to face stressful situations. You're going to feel anxious. You're going to be overwhelmed at times. And the thing is that we have to have our mental mind in shape. We have to be mentally ready for these things. And I can tell you that it is a choice. We can either be on offense or defense when it comes to this. And we can live in constant mindset of pulling ourselves out of mental conflict, or we can live healthy with a mind ready to face what comes next. Notice what he says in chapter 2 and verse 1. This is what he says. He's talking to him. Paul is a mentor. He's been through some stuff. He was pulled out of the city, beat half to death. He's been shipwrecked before. He's been stoned to death. He's been through stuff. So it's not a matter of like Timothy saying, Paul, what do you know what you're doing? Or what do you know about this? No, he's been through some stuff. He says this. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is you were given what you don't deserve. That is all these gifts and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the salvation of God and the peace of God. But he didn't just say you have them. What did he say? Be strong in them. Do you know how you're strong in anything? You exercise whatever you have. You can be like, we need to be strong in our physical fitness. Well, what do? You exercise. You have to apply your muscles to work out, to lift weights, to be on the treadmill. He was telling him, he said, it's not just a matter of you knowing these things of God. You've got to apply these things to build up the strength to be strong in the Lord. He said in verse 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's telling him, I promise you, he said, you better get ready that hard times are coming. Our world is crazy. Crazy. I mean, the things that we deal with on a regular basis, the things that bring us stress, and I know that we've talked about all this. And guys, I'm telling you now, it's not going to get better. And for anybody who's like, man, that is not what I want to hear. The Bible talks about this world being cursed. The world is cursed. It is falling apart. And I know I've mentioned this many times before, messages in the past. Everybody's like, save the planet. Only, I tell you what, we're not going to save the planet, okay? It's like doom and gloom right here, you know? It's like you can go green all you want, but I tell you, the world has a curse. It's called sin. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But I have good news. Jesus said, I have come into this world to overcome this world, that he came to give us heaven and hope beyond this world. That's why we preach the gospel every week. It's about talking about what Jesus Christ came to do. Paul told him to be ready. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, a soldier is somebody that's physically, emotionally ready for what he's about to face. A soldier is someone that knows how to use the weapons that has been put in his hands. It's not an accident that he told him that. He said, you need to know how to fight the war. He said, you need to know what you have. You need to be ready to engage in this. We talk about what we have from the world, my stress, my anxiety. What do you have from God? If we're going to claim something, let's claim what God has given us. I've asked people before, what's causing your stress? And this is true. It's like, I talked to somebody even this week, and he just said, I just feel so much anxiety. And I said, stop for a minute. Help me understand this, because I'm working through this. What exactly do you feel? I don't know. I just feel off. I feel overwhelmed. I feel paranoid. I feel anxious to go to work. I get worried about things that haven't even happened yet. My mind goes crazy. And sometimes we can't even pinpoint exactly what's causing. Because I said, is there anything going on in your life right now that you can say, it's this right here? Because sometimes if you're in college and you got a paper due or exams or trying to pay for your education or whatever, that causes stress. But when you can't, you know what I'm talking about? Where there's just, I just don't know. I just have this dark cloud over me that's there all the time. I can't pinpoint it like this. So let me show you chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is what Paul said to Timothy. He says, he's responding to his letter. And I can imagine, as Timothy is talking to Paul, he's like just opening his heart, going, let me just tell you, Paul, I'm going through it right now. And Paul's saying, Timothy, tell me what you're going through. I just have this feeling. I feel so worked up. And I allow the things that people say to me to get in my head. I just feel stressed. Now listen to what Paul says to Timothy in this passage. And I know this is a passage that a lot of you are familiar, but listen to it from this perspective of coaching him with his mental health. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I know what you're thinking. Didn't you say that fear's not wrong? No, fear's not wrong. If I came in here right now and said, there's a snake, and everybody, you would respond to that. I told you guys, I grew up in Alabama. It was not an uncommon thing for us to go in the yard, cut the grass, or walk and run into a snake. Or you hear the rattle of a rattlesnake. I grew up in Alabama. That was a common thing right there. Something goes off inside of you and you jump back and you're thinking something's not right. I'm not going forward. That is fear. That is a healthy thing for us to have. If the fire alarm went off in this room right now, something, your heart starts racing a little more saying, I need to take action. That's not a bad thing. But what did Paul say? He didn't say that God has not given us fear. He said God has not given us a spirit of fear. Small s. Not the Holy Spirit. He said, God has not given us this feeling, emotion, constant atmosphere of fear. And he's just calling them out for what it is. He's telling them right now that he said, I know this feeling that you're talking about, this voice that gets in your head. You're not a good mom. Look at you. You're never going to do this right. You're going to mess this up. Your spouse doesn't truly love you. Who is telling you this? Think about it. Where is this coming from? Paul is saying, he's put it like this, just think about this conversation. Think about him communicating these words. Think about how he's shooting them straight. So let me put it like this. He goes up to chapter 2, or 2 Timothy 1, 7. He says, God did not give you that. I'm paraphrasing there. You know what I'm saying? He said, I'm just feeling this way. And Paul just says, God has not given us that spirit of fear. It did not come from God. Now I want to break this down for just a minute. Craig, will you come up here for a second? I want to read this definition. The word spirit in this passage, I'm going to use you as my guy right here, Steve right here. Let me illustrate to you what the Spirit is. The Bible says that is the Spirit in this passage right here. It says it's a current of air. So you can see it. That this atmosphere, this feeling, this oppression, whatever you have, it's a breath. It's mental disposition. It's something that you can't put your finger on. It's either superhuman, angel, demonic, or divine from God. And we know what that peace comes from God that passes all understanding. But he's talking about in this passage, the spirit of fear. So there's times that you're just going through life and you're just driving to work. Today's going to be a horrible day. When you get there, I promise you, the other people at work are not going to pull their weight. You finished your taxes, but I don't think you did line 5 correctly. You Googled it and everyone else was confused. You will go to work and come home thinking your spouse is not going to help you do the dishes. You're mad before you even walk in the door. you are stressed out. Now, the thing is, it makes sense with me walking around, but remember, it's a breath, it's a spirit, it's divine, it's something. And the thing that God was telling us is God did not give you that spirit. Thank you, Craig. We all know what I'm talking about. It is just something that goes on in your mind. And I think when the Bible talks about taking on the shield of faith that we might be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Or the fiery darts of Satan. You know what a fiery dart is? It's just like this. It takes it, that thought that Satan has, and he just lets it go. Where's it going to land? You just get hit with that. And like, man, I don't know why I'm so irritable right now. I don't know why I'm so worked up about what I have to do when I'm not even there yet. And I wasn't even worried about it. Why am I worried about it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And let me just say right now, according to this definition, it's not that spirit doesn't, that could come from another person and have nothing to do with Satan. I know that we blame Satan for everything. Satan did that. You know, I didn't get out of bed today. Satan's fighting me hard. No, you didn't set your alarm, okay? Satan's over there like, I'm taking credit for that. I didn't even do that. It's like, you know, quit building up Satan. He doesn't do all that. But it doesn't say necessarily that it's Satan. It's just a spirit, a present, a mindset, opposition, a thought that comes into our head, a current of air, outside influence. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That feeling, those struggles did not come from God. Amen. So I'm going to ask you guys a hard question. If it did not come from God, where did it come from? And you think about it. And I don't care. It could be the world, the flesh, and the devil. It could come from CNN. I don't know where it came from, okay? Could be from you just listening to talk radio or, you know, the NFL draft got you bent out of shape. I don't know. The question is, if it did not come from God, then you don't have to keep it.
Amen.
Stop. The principle that Paul was telling Timothy is we must reject the spirit of fear. Reject the spirit of fear. Because God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We talk about what the world has given us. It's like, I have my anxiety. This is what I have with this. But he says that God has given you. Okay, let's just break that down. Let me read it again like this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit. And we know what that spirit is that God has given us. He's given us a spirit of power, he's given us a spirit of love, and he's given us a spirit of a sound mind. You say, explain it more. Explain what you're talking about, that God's given us the spirit. Go back one verse. Let's just read it. Connect the dots. He said, wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. You have it. You have the gift. Now think about what Paul is saying, because I know this is a thing. It's like, I go to church every week. I'm a Christian, I know God, I have a Bible, all these things, but I struggle with this. Paul was telling Timothy that you have to stir up the gift that is in you. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? By calling into remembrance, let me read it again, just so that wherefore I put this in remembrance of thee. You know how crazy it is that you can go on vacation 20 years ago, okay? Like me and Jenny went to Hawaii like 17 years ago. And I don't remember everything that we did. My memory is terrible. I struggle with that. But I can sit down. I'm obsessed with pictures. If we do vacation or anything like that, I obsess with pictures. I learn from pictures. I remember from pictures. But I can sit down with those pictures and flip through those pictures on my phone or the physical pictures. And all of a sudden, it brings to my memory joy. I forgot that we ate at that restaurant. And that was so much fun. And do you remember when we did that? Do you remember how scared you were when we went ziplining? Do you remember all these different thoughts and feelings that come to our mind? What I'm doing is I'm calling to my mind the things that were good that stir up my mind or my thinking. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He said, dude, I'm going to tell you right now that God has not given you that spirit, but it's time that you stir up the gift of what God has given you. You need to put your mind and stir up what God has given you. Stop claiming my anxiety. Let's start claiming my God. Let me tell you the weapons of my God. Let me tell you what I have of power and of love and of sound mind. That is what I have. It's what I should be claiming in life. Jesus, in John chapter 14, was about to leave the disciples. He was not just peace, he was the Prince of Peace. And they got an example of this, and I know I've preached on this passage, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, when Jesus was in the boat, and they were trying to bail the water because they were going under, and the storm was too much for them. And Jesus was doing what in the boat? How many of you guys remember? He was sleeping in the boat. He's right here, I believe, and now don't quote me in this because I can't prove it, that he had like one eye open going like, what are you guys doing? Because, I mean, it's hard to sleep in a storm, but can you imagine sleeping in that kind of storm or whatever? But anyways, the Bible tells us that he was sleeping. They were this close to Jesus. And yet they were facing anxiety and stress and being overwhelmed to the point that they said, we're going to die. Do you know how often in life we are this close to Jesus? And yet what are we doing rather than reaching out to Jesus? We've got that bucket like, I got to pay these bills and I got to work overtime and I got to talk to the kids and I hope my husband understands. We're just making it happen. Do you know what happens when you're doing this and the rain's coming in? You get worn out. And that's the description of most Christians. So they reach out to Jesus. Do you not care? Do you not care that we're going to die? They wake up Jesus, and Jesus stands up, walks to the edge of the boat, and he says, peace, be still. Do you know why Jesus had the power to do that? Because he had authority over the storm.
Amen.
Jesus is greater than the storm.
Amen.
Jesus is greater than the chaos. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, I wish Jesus was here right now, brother. I wish he was right here. I wish he'd face that trial with me and go with me into the darkness. Jesus said before he goes, he says this in verse 16 of chapter John 14. He says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another what? Say it again. He will give you another what?
Comforter.
Okay, let's break that down. He's not just saying Spirit of God. He's describing the Spirit of God. He said, what I'm going to give you right now, he said, when you're distressed, when Thomas is distressed or John was distressed or Peter was distressed, Jesus stepped into it to bring peace to what they couldn't handle. He brought comfort. He was the Prince of Peace. He was the Comforter. And Jesus said, don't be upset. I'm going to give you another Comforter. And it gets better. A Comforter is an intercessor, a counselor, an advocate. Think about what Jesus was saying. He says, I'm going to give somebody that intercedes on your behalf. I'm going to give you somebody that is a constant counselor that never leaves you. I'm going to give you somebody that will speak to your mind that has authority over your problems. He says, another one is coming in verse 16, and I pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that might abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The counselor is going to speak truth in your situation because we believe, and I can't remember the term that you use, the crazy lies or whatever that you're talking about, the stinking thinking. Yeah, that's right. We have this stinking thinking that just messes up our minds. You know what contradicts that? He says, I will give you truth, even the Spirit of truth, an atmosphere of truth, a presence of truth, not a dark cloud of doom and gloom, but a presence of the Spirit of God that pours into your mind and your heart truth. But why don't we all have it? I'm going to speak right now to the people watching online and the people in this room that you'd say, I'd love to have that comforter. I'd love to have that peace. I'd love to have that. You're not going to find it in a counselor. You're not going to have it in a pill bottle. You're not going to have it in a drug. The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, shall be in you. Do you know how many people are seeking peace that will never have peace until they find Jesus?
Amen.
They want it so bad, and when they run to all the different methods of the world, they just get deeper and deeper and deeper until they get to the point where there is no help. because it's not just about knowing about Jesus, it is about having Jesus in your life, which only comes through salvation. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Spirit of God comes into your life and He changes you from the inside out. It is not just the Spirit of God. It's not just the seal of salvation. It is the Comforter of God. You must be saved. You must know Jesus in order to experience His comfort. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. So you say, my anxiety, oh, okay, we'll break this down. I've got good news, because God is greater than your anxiety. Amen. The Comforter, the presence of God, the Spirit, the mindset that you have through God is greater. If you don't have Jesus, then you don't have the Comforter. Paul was saying it's time to reject the spirit of fear and lean into the Spirit of God. Because in you is the presence of God. In you is something greater. In you is greater than fear. God has given us. Now let me break this down. You already know the outline that I'm going to end with. What has God given us? So let me show you this. God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power. God has given us a spirit of power. Now I need you to understand this, because this is where the hope comes in. The hope is that I have something that I have tried everything to fix. I have tried this, and I've tried reading this book, and I've tried the podcast and whatever. But what the Spirit of God does in our life, you think about what the Spirit of God does inside of our lives, as He steps into our lives, and no matter what you come against, there is a power through the presence of God that is greater than the power of what you're dealing with. Now, I know we can look at that and says, I have the Spirit of God, so I've got the power of God. You know, we just make it almost like a Marvel thing that, you know, I'm like some sort of superhero because I have this. No, it's I have somebody in me that has that power to handle what I have going on in my life. So let me break that down. If you have the spirit of power in your life, and by the way, that word power in that passage is dunamis power. Now, if you grew up in church, you've been around that, that is the same power that's used for that, the fact that they raised Jesus from the dead. That is the dunamis power of God, that is explosive power, that is all-powerful, that demons had to flee and life was raised, or dead was raised to life because of the dunamis power of God. So you say, I can't change. I will never change. That is not true, because you have the spirit of power living inside of you. I don't care what Satan throws at you. And this is not, Sherry will tell you, this does not mean that you don't get help. This does not mean that you don't reach out. Do you know why we have counselors up here? Do you know why we pass out the sheets full of the information, is to get help? You know what the help does? It stirs up the gift that is in you. It calls to your mind the truth. It is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That's what it is. God has given us a spirit of power. You say, but I've got fear. Let me show you something powerful. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. You know why? Because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Now, we studied this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about what is love. But let me tell you, when God steps in and you stir up the gift, and I'm so consumed with fear and I'm so overwhelmed with this and you're going through this. I went through this season of fear. And I know I've talked to you guys about it, but I'm a pastor that's going to be real and transparent with you. At the end of the 2 years, when we came to the point where we were done with OSU, when we were going to Cleveland Clinic, that was a weird spot for us, because we had no answers and nowhere to go. And everything that they said, don't worry about it at the beginning. We've got this and this and this and this and this, and we'll try. But one of our last visits was, listen, those things are all done now. So now we have to go over here, and we don't even know if these things are not going to hurt your kid. But in order to keep going, we have to try these things that could shut down his liver and do these other things. Mess with me, okay? I mean, we were waiting for scans and doctor's appointments. They mess with me. And I remember having this feeling, and I remember praying. I was getting ready for bed. I remember this so vividly. I remember where I was at. I remember where I prayed. I remember, and the verse came to my mind, that God has not given me a spirit of fear. So I literally was like, well, wait a minute. I don't have to have this. I don't have to be up all night tonight. I don't have to wake up just with my mind going crazy. God, you're telling me? No, because perfect love casts out fear. So all I could do is picture in my mind God coming in, grabbing a hold of it, and throwing it out. Amen. I know we think differently. This is just my brain, okay? But I needed that. And I prayed and I said, God, You made a promise that your love, your presence, cast out fear, and I'm miserable. So will you do it for me?
Amen.
And I'm not saying that I didn't struggle, but I remember claiming that promise, and I slept like a baby that night.
Amen.
Because God promised that he would be that. He said a spirit of fear has to be removed with the spirit of the power of God. But he said the second thing that God has given us. Look at the verse. He breaks it down. God has given us a spirit of love. Spirit of love, and that's the presence of love. So you say, what does that mean? In the world, I feel rejected, to feel I'm gonna fall short, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not loved, that I'm gonna be rejected by the world and my friends, or people are not gonna like me. What the Spirit of God does is whispers to the ear, you are my kid, and I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and I will always have your back. It's not just the words of love. It's the presence of the love of God that I have in my life. God has given me the spirit of love, of acceptance, the spirit of love that he cares about me, the spirit of love that it's going to be okay. That's what God does for us. Love is his desire for me. It doesn't matter if every one of you think I'm a dork. God likes me. Some of you are thinking, how did he know that? I see your faces. I see it. Spirit of power and of a sound mind. This is powerful. God has given us a sound mind. The word sound mind, or the phrase sound mind, means a discipline or a self-controlled mind. My mind goes to dark places really fast. We can be watching the news, we can hear, talk to a friend, we can hear a cancer report or cancer statistic. I can hear about somebody else that has just recently passed and they were declared cancer-free and 6 weeks later they were ate up with cancer and I'm just like, oh, you know, you just go through those things. I mean, it just does. And it's like that train just hits you out of nowhere and all of a sudden you're just feeling that way and your mind can be weak. Just like you're trying to pick up something that's heavier than what you can handle, and I just can't do it because your muscles are weak. You have not had the disciplines put into your life to exercise your muscles so that you're ready to handle what's coming next. And he said that I'm going to give you the spirit of a sound mind, or the spirit of a disciplined mind, where it is the Spirit of God working inside of your life, that this is what happens. The Spirit of God working inside of your life, where you're watching the news and thinking the economy is going to crash and I'm going to lose my Social Security. And God whispers to you and says, this is the sound mind, says, I love you. And I've got this. Go to bed. That is a disciplined mind. But if you don't have that stirred up in your mind, you're just like all over the place. I don't know. Like, Sally, did you hear John? Did you hear Bubba? Did you hear Tom? You're just going crazy. Can't live that way. And God says, I'm going to give you a gift. I want you to exercise the Spirit of God living inside of you. I want you to know this. Here's a promise of God. Some of you guys need to memorize this verse and quote it all week long. Are you ready for this? This is promise of God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength. Why does the Bible say that this will work and sometimes it feels like it doesn't work? Like we go into church, but you're going to live a whole week of anxiety and stress and fear and being overwhelmed. Verse 6, one more time. Wherefore put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift which is in thee. The word stir up the gift that is in thee that he's talking about is literally to kindle the flame, to rekindle. It's like saying, I have a treadmill, but I'm out of shape. And I'm going to ask you the question, do you ever turn it on and get on it? I said, no, but I have a treadmill. I have an exercise bag. It doesn't work unless you stir up, you exercise, put into motion the things that God has given us. That's what he said to do. I was working this past week in the church, and it got dark, and I was working in the lobby, and we're working up in the ceiling, running lines and stuff like that. And I had the ceiling tiles pulled, and I kept getting up and down and talking to people and things like that. And I got up there, and I have this light. It's working great. And then I got down and did some stuff, went back up there, and I'm working. And I scratched my hand because I couldn't see, and I'm frustrated. I couldn't get the screw, and I dropped the screw, and I can't find the screw. And I'm just like, this just is not working. I had the light on my head. Just like this. I'm working like this in the dark. I'm up there and I'm like, this is so frustrating. It's just like, what kind of, and I was like, oh, it's like, that's all I had to do. That's all I had to do. Do you know how often we go through life like, where's God and why is this working? The peace of God and cast out fear and cast out anxiety and all this other stuff, and it's not working. Do you know why we come to church and we say, let's stand and sing, and some of you, not calling out names, will stand there just like this? I'm like, what are you doing? This isn't entertaining the people on the stage or the people around you. I am calling to my mind the power of God, to call into remembrance that God is great and loves me and He cares for me. I've got to stir up the gift that is in me. Amen. Getting your Bible. Don't just have a Bible. Getting your Bible. Read your Bible. Memorize verses. Turn your worship music on. Listen to worship. Come next Sunday. Take your Bible out next Sunday. Stir up the gift that is in you. Because it's powerful. And it tells you that you're loved. And it creates self-discipline to pull back the negative thoughts and say, hey, buddy, we're not going there today. Not today. You're a child of God, and I've got this. These are just principles that coordinate with the practical things that we've talked about. Your body, soul, and spirit, the inner man, the feelings, the emotions. But let me tell you, God made all three of those. So when we talk about the parts of the brain and how the Bible's all connected and the chemical makeup and all that, and you just say, well, they're getting all scientific. God made the scientific. God made it. God made you. God knows you.